Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vince Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Welcome to Series 2 of Comedy Arcade. Unbelievably, we did 30 episodes and I decided to call time on Series 1 so I'd have an excuse to relaunch it as Series 2. But very little has changed. In fact, the person that was on episode 30 of Series 1 is now on episode 1 of Series 2. My first guest today is Sean Smith. Looking around. That works
Thank
so
you,
well for radio. Yeah. I love it. I love physical comedy on a podcast. Sean Smith, for the people who weren't paying attention on the last episode, if not, where were you, is a rock star.
No.
Well, you were, as we discussed. We're in
I
the band
know.
Blackout. Now you're in Rangers?
Yeah. No, Raiders.
Raiders,
this has gone terrible.
Yeah.
This is awful. Yeah. I was in a band called the Blackout.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I listen to them all the time.
This is the first time me and Vix have ever met. I'm in a band called Raiders, and I have a podcast called Sappening Podcast with, and then my name, obviously. Well, not obviously, but yeah. So there you go. Thank you.
Would you consider yourself a podcaster now, or are you still a rock star in your heart and your mirror?
I've never been a rock star in my heart. So even though the ego did get to me for a little bit, but yeah, I guess I probably am a podcaster now. And I
oh,
said
shame
that
in
sad
that?
Face. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I've been doing it like 2 years. So it's not like I'm like, I've just started and I hate it. I've been doing it 2 years.
Oh, you're suitably jaded for the time spent. That's fine.
Yeah, I currently got 128 episodes of my podcast out. So, yeah.
That's so many.
It's too many. It's way too many. But there you go. Here we are.
Well done, but also, wow.
And,
very different genre of music, but, you know, a maestro in his own way. We've got Mark Reed. Well, how would you describe yourself? Just musician, writer, actor,
I'm more interested
stage.
In hearing about Sean. So Sean's come back from the last series. So does that mean he's gone from kind of like guest star to series regular?
When
you know how when
on,
people come back in season 2 or series 2, they kind of give him more of a role, pay him a bit more? Is that that's what's going on here?
Pay? What?
What? Oh, should have kept that quiet.
Oh yeah, I can well, double more. I can double your fee, Sean, from last time.
Yes, bugger.
Fantastic. And well, it's a pleasure to be here. I don't know how you would describe me. I've been described lots of different ways. Some I can say, some I'd rather not. But yeah,
it's fine to swear.
Oh well, no, I just remember back in the day. Let's go right back to
all right.
When A1 were out doing our thing and it was all going off. I couldn't walk to the shops. From my local shops without some car going by going, my God! Or they go, turn on me! I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, but you didn't even write that one.
No, but, you know, it seemed like that was the one that kind of stuck with us the most. That's the one that sort of, as I was walking around, people would go, take on me, and you'd think, oh, we've got them. We've reached them. My God.
Remarkable.
But honestly, without fail. But then I kind of felt we were doing something right, because every gig we went to, there would always be some, at that time, there would always be some guys in the audience just standing there like this going, oh yeah. And as we'd walk back to the car, getting our cars, all the girls are chasing after us, crowd around the car, the guys would be standing there, sticking their fingers up, and we'd be thinking, well, we're doing something right. You know?
Yeah. I sang, I sang a Willy once just to annoy a fella like that. There was a fella who was showing off with his girlfriend who was like, oh, think you're some rock star, sign anything with it. I was like, yeah, I will. And he was like, all right, then sign this. And got it out. So I was like, I can't, I'll have to do my initials. I can't fit it all on there. But I had to hold it.
Did it respond? Because that would have been a real cell phone on that guy.
No, there was no movement in it. It was very cold. Thank God. Brighton, and it was outside as well. So I can't blame him.
I would have been like, oh, we're going to need a smaller pen. Or anybody got a, you know, what are those really sharp pens? The old fountain pens. Or
calligraphy. I'd some people pay for that, Mark. I think some people did.
There's an audience for that.
Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, wow. Signing things. We could really go down that road.
New category unlocked there. Mark was wondering if Sean, you were the same Sean Smith from slightly too into each other, brother and sister act, same difference.
Same difference, no. But that's the story that they kind of came in on earlier, was I was misidentified as Sean Smith from Same Difference once. And because he was apparently going into Big Brother, and I was doing surprisingly well in the rock community at the time, and people thought it might be me. So what I did was I instantly went on Twitter and was like, all right, guys, this is going to be the last time I post on social media for a while now. And then instantly it went fucking bananas. And I had Kerrang! Magazine, Rocks, and Kerrang! Did a two-page piece on it where they made it look like Hello Magazine. And it said, I think they called it like Higher Butt or something, you know, something Welsh sounding. But yeah, they thought I was going in, and then I didn't go in. And then a year later, Endemol got in touch to ask me to go in, but I couldn't, because I wanted to keep my band going. Mm. But yeah, I came up with a plan to break out to Big Brother. I considered even going in and breaking out to do the tour, have a Hello Magazine fly helicopter over, lift me up. I go out, make a whole show about breaking out to Big Brother, sell it back to Endemol. Rich! I could have been rich!
You think that's what Leo Sayer did? Do you remember he made a big song and dance about leaving Celebrity Big Brother?
They do let you out. It's not like that other one where the man was trapped in there for months.
How much better is it if they don't expect it and they think I'm going to be there for the month, and 10 days in, a ladder drops from a helicopter and I pissed off, and then they drop me in a studio and I do a whole thing about breaking out.
Just in the short few minutes I've got to know you, I can tell you you'd definitely be more entertaining in the Big Brother house. That's for sure.
No. I've always wanted to. Like, I remember when I first saw it, I was like, that'd be good for me, I think. People.
I had a bandmate of mine actually did it. So,
Ben!
Yeah,
sorry.
Ben's in. I'm going to try and guess what year this was. You can Google it, but I think it was about 2008 or 2009, round about that time, he did Big Brother, and he was in there with some fantastic people. He was in there with Coolio, Latoya Jackson.
Oh my God,
icons! Yeah,
and another icon, Mini Me, Vern.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, Ben, he didn't enjoy it. He actually hated it, because other than all the highlights that they put together on TV, for the best part, you are just sitting on a sofa and, you know, and there's not a lot to do.
We all know about that now, don't we? Can't go to the pub. We've all been in Big Brother.
and I'd say, a lot of people, it would be like an opportunity, but I think that the success that comes off the back of Big Brother is very short-lived, and only a very handful of people have really managed to capitalise on it beyond, you know, just the 5 minutes of, hey, so-and-so on Big Brother. I mean, I believe Alison Hammond on Good Morning this morning was Big Brother.
Yeah, she was. She wasn't celeb Big Brother. She was just Big Brother.
Yeah, she was on the original. So there are a handful of people that certainly made a career out of it. But I couldn't think of anything worse. I would absolutely hate it. Absolutely hate it.
That voice you can hear, the other lady voice, is
Sorry, I was just chatting.
I did a monologue for my introduction.
I love it. I'm holding a mug with Kim Woodburn with her adulterer from Celebrity Big Brother. So it feels very meta. Sorry, I'll keep quiet.
Comedian, dreamboat, host of Wheel of Misfortune, a podcast of with a similar vibe of
very
sharing.
Very similar vibe. I didn't check which date either of ours launched. I didn't want to.
Well, yours is the one that was like BBC. And so people were like, have you just ripped this off? I was like, no, two people can have the same idea.
Absolutely. Yours is bingo. Mine is a wheel. It's totally different.
We can be friends. I mean, absolutely. Benson was in a boy band with a classic four formation. There's mm-hmm. room for all of us.
There is room. Like, look, we're... What are you? Are you All Saints or Spice Girls?
Spice Girls. Right.
Okay, I'll go with All Saints for mine. Then I quite like them. Let's do that.
Do you have to be one or the other?
I don't think I have to choose.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think of rival girl bands, like that there isn't a big change in quality. I feel like Spice Girls and All Saints is a fair one.
I think they represent very different things.
Yeah.
Well, often that's the case when you have a band that's huge, like the Spice Girls. There's always somebody thinking, right,
or A1,
or even A1. Yeah, of course, on the same level. So yeah, very similar thing. But no, at the time, obviously, you'd have Take That, that were the very kind of friendly, and then somebody thinking, we've got to come up with E17. That's a contrast to that. Oasis, Blur. It's always good to have something that represents a bit of a different audience.
Was A1 ever offered as a different audience to another band, or did you feel that there was another band that came up around your time that was the answer to A1? You know, I feel like pop is a conversation. I'm very into pop music, sorry. Oh, but bands and stuff like that. So like I feel like was there a band at the time that you felt was having a conversation with A1?
Well, I felt that we came out at exactly the same time as West Side.
Oh, yeah.
Go on to be known as West
Side. What happened to them?
I know. So we came out exactly the same time as them. And I know. What are they doing now? Can't get a panto. And,
but you wrote your songs.
But they had, obviously, you know, Ronan was their manager. So they were kind of, Boyzone pretty much handed the baton and they were off. They were off to the races and it was huge. So I felt like we were already, you know, quite a long way behind them. And that was quite a big hill to get over, because at the time, believe it or not, the whole pop scene was actually on the tail end of the wave. I think people had had enough of that kind of pop band. There'd been so many.
I hadn't. I had loads of room for that.
I mean, yeah. I don't think you can get...
Whilst also listening to The Blackout, though. My house has many Lord. Rooms.
Yeah. Good way to be. Great way to be. But no, I'm very grateful of what we did manage to achieve, even though we were on the kind of the tail end. But I think we wrote a lot of ballads. We wrote a lot of mid-tempo songs, acoustic songs and things like that. But because Westlife had kind of conquered the ballad market, our record label and our management wanted us to do up-tempo dance tracks, which wasn't really us. I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. massively into dance. I'm a musician. I love playing piano. I love playing guitar. So we had to kind of try and go into a different avenue. I think things could have been very different if we were able to do the music. So actually in Asia, we were the band that we wanted to be. And we had... I don't know, number ones that were for number one for like 16 weeks and stuff. And they were all ballads.
I could talk for hours for how I feel about the early 2000s, late 90s record companies and how they fecked over. So like Bewitched for me. Anyway, I'm going to stop. Let you do your podcast. And I'll just. Yeah.
I like this. I mean, this is off on a tangent. It's a different thing.
We're not doing Comedy Arcade. We're launching a new podcast now together.
Exactly.
I want
Pop
invest-
Arcade. Pop Arcade. Yes. Yeah.
The record company conglomerates that destroyed my childhood. Like, there were so many bands that I missed because of, yeah. Anyway, go on.
Bewitched are lovely girls. Really nice band.
Of course they are. Right. Here we go. All right. And the category is biggest waste of money.
Oh.
Look at you all thinking of loads of waste of money. So there's too much choice.
It's too much choice for me. So I'm going to let somebody else go first. I could talk for hours on this.
Sean, you look like you're desperate to go. Come on.
I'm not. Alison, you go first. And then
okay, I'm going to go first. It's not going to be great, but I'm taking that sacrifice for the good of the podcast. The greater good. The biggest waste of money. I grew up poor, and when I get money, I feel like I don't deserve it. So I just spaff it on my mum. So like once I got an advertisement and I bought my mum a car, but it was a 22-year-old Nissan Micra. It was the only one I could afford. And I bought it for her, and the next week, it set on fire. So that was the biggest waste of money. And I didn't push for insurance, so it was a real big waste of money.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's a disaster.
It's an absolute disaster, but it is the thing I can go, like, I bought my mum a car. But, like, I don't say it's a Nissan Micra.
But it was burnt out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a mercy killing, whatever happened to that.
It was put out of its misery.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, if it was an animal, like, you know, I was going to say Ralph Harris, and he's dearly departed, cancelled. But what other...
He's not dead.
It's to me he is.
I see an animal that needs to be put down. Where were we going with that sentence?
I think of Ralph Harris, and that's not the worst thing.
So what are you trying to say is that Rolf Rue picture that I bought was a waste of money?
Yeah.
91. How is he not dead? Like,
I know. I think, like,
only cockroaches and Rolf Harris will survive this pandemic. Like,
anytime I think of, like, animal euthanasia, I think of the theme tune. And it's always like, you know, Greg the hamster, you know, they always die. Like, I feel like those vets offered no solutions.
Well, they're still animals. It's not worth helping them, is it? They're like, no. You can buy another one for £4.
Their medicine cupboards were bare. All they had was the poison.
They become part of the family. It's not just you can't just buy another gerbil.
People are taking goldfish to the vet. What are you doing? What are you doing?
They went through some things with that goldfish. They were an important part of their family life.
Goldfish don't remember him.
For a couple of seconds. No, that's a myth.
Yeah, I know. As I was saying it, I was like, someone's going to mansplain that to me. Well done, it was you, Mark.
My first pet was a goldfish, and I named it after my dad's best friend, Brett. And he was a bit weirded out by that. And my second goldfish I named after my mum, and she killed it. She told me she flushed it down the toilet by accident, but now I'm an adult.
Like, there can be only one.
Punched it to death.
Yeah.
In between the sink.
Not in this house. I'm the only... Yeah, why would you call it fish mum? That's a weird name to call it anyway.
Because I loved her, and I thought, aww, like, it's a nice thing to, like, you know, name it after someone you admire. I feel, you know.
Oh, that's lovely. I hope she was grateful for that car, Alison, because you're a lovely daughter.
No, I'm not. I'm using her as podcast fodder. Like, most of my...
Fully, you know, with all due respect, respectfully.
Yes.
Lovely way.
Yeah. It's, right, Mark, come on. What's the biggest waste of money?
I bought shares in Woolworths in 2001.
You did not!
No, I'm joking. No, I didn't.
That's like a fresh pop star's investment. You know what I mean? Like, someone's giving you advice, like, Mark, mate. Like, you know, the pop isn't going to last forever. You need to invest in Woolworths now.
Get half in Woolworths, half in WH Smith. You're going to be fucking minted.
Yeah.
You'll be swimming in Pick-a-Mix.
And what was the other shop that was around for 5 minutes? Outprice.
Oh.
Yeah,
invested in Outprice as well. No, I mean, like, you know, I just wanted to save it, just like HMV. I don't want to see these places disappear. So I would certainly invest in HMV. Well, I haven't.
I don't think what you're suggesting isn't investment, is it? It's a rescue plan or a crowdfunder.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rescue plan because I don't want to see HMV disappear, even though it pretty much already has.
I want to clack through the posters. Where else will I go for that?
I know. Oh, yes.
Oh, there's nothing like it.
A lot of memories. But no, I for me, it's not a waste of money to me, but it was a little bit obscene. And a lot of people might question my sanity, but I did buy a life-size Fozzie Bear Muppet.
What That's is a lovely. Life-size one?
Like a like a Muppet.
And well, the follow-up question should be, where is it right now? Or why are we not looking at it?
He's upstairs. I could have had him here, but it would be very distracting. And
did I need to book him separately?
I've got a candle here. I'd be worried about him going, because I would pretty much be crying on camera a lot.
Can he be operated by you? Because he may be in episode two. I can book him separately.
On this particular Fozzie Bear, he's a Muppet poser, which is what they would use for the photo shoot. So he's got a wireframe, so he's completely posable. But he's not a puppet, so unfortunately I can't bring him to life. But he looks incredible, absolutely incredible. But when there were only two of these in the world, because it was a company that was producing. I know I'm going off on a tangent.
I'm into it. No, we love
you.
There was
no,
a company.
I won't.
Sean is nodding. Like, we are in. We're invested.
I want to know.
There was a company called Master Replicas that made Muppet replicas, but they went out of business because, you know, they also
made Sean's making a note.
They also made lightsabers. They also made the Lord of the Rings swords and things like that. But they've gone out of business. And the next one that was going to come out was Fozzie. And they had two prototypes that were made. One of them got apparently thrown away and the other one a collector bought. And he was offering to sell it. And this was at a time around about towards the end of A1. I had made a little bit of money. I mean, you know, as you were saying, Alison, most management screw over the bands and you never get as much as you think you do and all that kind of stuff. That's just pop history for you. But
genuinely should be a tribunal on that. Like, I genuinely feel that way. But go on, Mark. Like,
so the price the guy was asking, my dad said, if you come home with that Fozzie, you're not allowed back in. You cannot live here if you come back. So that kind of gives you a rough idea of how much it was. Needless to say, I saw sense and I didn't.
And you bought it?
No, I didn't. I didn't because it was obscene. It was an obscene amount of money. So I had one made at a fraction of the price. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you now, the original, the price he was asking was 12 grand.
And you were genuinely thinking about this?
No, but
what are your Instagram ads like? Because mine are like clothes and shoes, and you're like,
this is a good 15 years ago. This is like, you know, a long time ago. It doesn't excuse it, but I've never been married. I've managed to shirk a lot of responsibilities. I'm still living on my own and stuff.
It is a money saver.
So, but in any case, I certainly wasn't ever considering, you know, handing over that. I just wanted to see it. I just wanted to go and see it and check it out. And he was another collector. He's a big Muppet fan. We had a good catch up he kept it. I don't think he sold it. I don't think he plans on getting rid of it.
Well, good, because you wasted his time. You weren't a serious buyer. Can I touch a puppet? Can I?
Who would really pay 12k for that? That's unbelievable. So
did you ask
that? That absolutely would have been a huge waste of money.
So how much did you actually pay? Come on.
I couldn't possibly say.
Like, oh, a big saving. I paid 8 grand.
No.
20 grand.
A fraction of it. Absolute fraction of it.
His lips are sealed. Sean, what about you? What have you bought?
In 2011, when the Blackout were doing okay, we got offered a tour in Europe with the band that made me get into rock music, Limp Bizkit.
Amazing. Oh my God, all of my music heroes coming in.
So we got sent an email from our booking agent going, oh, boys, we've been offered the Limp Bizkit tour, but we're going to be £18,000 down by the end of it, whatever happens. You could sell all the merch. We're going to be at least 18 grand down the fucking drain. And we said, fucking right, get us on there ASAP. And then, so I ended up going on tour with Limp Bizkit, who were literally the reason, like, 17-year-old me got into rock that wasn't Stereophonics at the time, because that was it, because, like, Stereophonics were local, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I heard Fred swear 48 times on the song Hot Dog, and I was like, I can do that. That's amazing.
That's Let's a job, see, is it? In. Yes.
And then I literally made it a job. And then 2012, I went on tour with Limp Bizkit, and we lost 18 grand. I'm going to say half the crowds hated us, which is fair enough, because we're not Limp Bizkit, is it? They've literally only come to see a small man in a red cap with a beard. and somebody dressed as a monkey priest playing guitar for some reason.
Nice and small. That sounds like Santa.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what you can do. After we finish this, go on the YouTube. The kids are mad for it, right? It's a video website or something.
I think it's going to catch on. I've heard of it.
It might do. Check out, Google Limp Bizkit, The Blackout, right? Oh, this story gets better. Anyway, so we're on tour with Limp Bizkit. We know the 18 grand's gone. So I'm like, right, they haven't played or soundchecked a song called Counterfeit, which is my favourite Limp Bizkit song. So I'd write the letter, handwritten letter, which I remember to this day, said, Dear Limp Bizkit, the blackout year, you might remember us from the last 12 shows. We have never seen you play the rock mosh anthem Counterfeit live. So if there's any chance you could do that, that would be amazing. If not, no worries. Thanks again for the tour. All our love, the blackout. I give it to Fred's security guy, who was the biggest guy with a Confederate flag on his back I've ever seen in my life. And then I said, oh, can you give this to Fred, please? And he was like, oh, yeah, he's sound checking. So I was like, yeah, no worries. So we're in our dressing room, knock on the door. Fred's assistant, Gabe, comes and says, oh, Limp Bizkit want to see you downstairs. So we were like, ah, oh, fuck. Because we, like, by this time, we are sick of kids going, oh, will you play your old songs? Because people in bands just want to play their new songs, right? Guess what? I've spent time writing this. Right, for you to keep asking me for a song that I fucking hate, right, drives me mental. So we're on our way down to Limp Bizkit, and I'm like, they're on stage now, sound checking, and I'm like, boys, I've got us kicked off this tour. We are 18 grand down, and we're not even finishing the tour. We've got three more dates.
I wrote a really weird letter. I've got to confess.
look, boys, I've taken it too far. I've shown Fred what I really feel. And yeah, as we got to the stage, so we got inside the stage, it's in Hamburg. As I get there, Fred's like, oh yeah, if we're going to do the song, you've got to sing it. So I was like, yeah, fucking right, I will. So they start playing. So the guitarist, Wes, who dressed like a monkey priest, he's teaching the guitarist from The Blackout, pretending to teach him, because Bob's like, oh, is it? No way. It's not those, is it? Knowing full well what the fuck, how the song goes, right? Fred turns to me. So they've got, instead of monitor right in the front, he's got an auto cue, which he calls the old man TV, right? So Fred says to me, this is the most one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. So Fred says to me, if you want, you can use the old man TV for the lyrics, right? And like some sort of excited teenager virgin, I went, I don't need that, stepped over him and went, I was born to do this.
Oh, no!
Right? And then proceeded to do a Fred Durst impression, and it's a very good Fred Durst impression, by the way, to Fred Durst for 5 minutes. We finished the song. It's been filmed by our drummer, who's like, I can't believe this is happening. Neither could we. We were just about to walk off stage, and Fred's like, don't get too drunk after your set. You're doing that tonight with us. And now there's footage of that online of me singing with Limp Bizkit, which is
fantastic.
Yeah,
that's my Christmas. So that was.
How many of the views on YouTube are you?
Oh, all of them. It's about 6,000, I'd imagine. And they're all me. Every now and again, I'll watch it and go, ha, that fat blonde idiot is me.
I did that. You were born for it. You were born for it. Born to do it.
But yeah, we lost a lot of money on that. A lot of money. I didn't make much money back, but basically I spent £18,000 to get a YouTube clip of me singing with Limp Bizkit.
That puppet's not sounding so bad now, is it, Mark?
Worth every penny. You know,
should have got that palsy.
was that partly a buy-on fee? Because it's because normally support bands buy onto the tour. Or were you kind of invited onto the tour and you just had to pay all your travel and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it wasn't a buy-on. It was basically we paid for a bus to tour Europe. That's basically what 18 grand was. So Limp Bizkit would do show, day off show, whereas we were used to doing show. So when we had a bus, for like a week longer than we fucking needed one, really, because there were shows in between. And there was one night where they offered me to travel with them, with Limp Bizkit, and I was like, boys, I've got to go. I've been offered to travel with Fred Durst. I'm going to be sleeping with Limp Bizkit. So make it that way you will. And the boys are like, you can't. We got a show tomorrow in Switzerland. And I was like, boys, can I please like not do the show? Can I let our fans down so I can go and sleep in the same small cramped bus? Yeah. Can I breathe in the same air through the air conditioning the Fred has all night? That happened. Mad. Crazy. Absolutely nuts stuff. That's my dream come true.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that's not a waste of money then. That's money well spent.
Is it though? Because literally all I have to show from here is that video on YouTube, and we were 18 grand in the fucking hole. Like it's, but we knew beforehand. Like it was, we took on the 18. We were like, go on.
We will pay.
You have my respect.
Thank you very much, Alison. Funnily enough, that's why we did it. I said, in the future, I'm going to be on a podcast, even though podcasts weren't invented then.
I think we're doing rather well here. We are rolling.
Oh, yeah. One whole category done. Can we do two?
Yes, we can do it. We can do it. Let's do it.
All right, and it is worst thing you've ever won, but this also looks like worst thing you've ever worn, and I specifically want to know Mark's worst thing he's ever worn, because I've got some ideas myself, because I used to buy Smash Hits magazine.
Wow.
Plenty of choices on that one. As you say, you only have to look back through the old Smash Hits magazines. People keep trying to bring them back by setting up accounts on Instagram. It's not you, is it, Vic? Somebody keeps setting up an Instagram Smash Hits Now, and they're trying to bring it back, and we're kind of like,
You can't bring it back. No, you can't bring it back.
It's not the same. It's not the same being an online thing. It has to be the magazine. But
I would support re-releasing all the old ones, though.
Yeah. Well, you could get them all on a disc now, can you? Like one disc, every Smash Hits magazine that was ever released.
They walked with what fruit would you be so BuzzFeed could run, didn't they? Really? Like, the Smash Hits questions were outstanding.
Oh, you always got what was your favourite flavour of crisps and what's your favourite colour.
What is that, Mark? I want to know now. Has it changed since Smash
Hits? It's probably changed. I think it was probably prawn cocktail back then, but now it's, I don't know.
Immature flavour, isn't it?
Yes, now it's sea salt and balsamic vinegar or something. I don't know.
Live your truth, Mark.
Yeah,
if you want to be a prawn cocktail boy, you do that.
The outfits that we used to wear, there's no getting away from it. That wasn't our decision. I mean, we were very... I wouldn't say that we were completely manufactured, because we were actually put together in a slightly more organic way. Our managers went round to music universities to try and find, you know, musicians rather than dancers, which we certainly weren't and stuff. So even though we did do a lot of dancing, I kind of, you know, we probably shouldn't have.
I always thought you were a high-quality boy band, Mark, I have to say.
When rumour goes around that you're writing your own songs, you just go up a gear for people. I know you might not have noticed it.
I don't think fans care if the band's right.
I care.
Well, I really appreciate hearing that, because I felt at the time they don't care if you appear on Smash Hits without your shirt on, that kind of thing, really, isn't it? So
you can care about both things simultaneously.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. But I mean, the when we first started out, we all wore white trousers and each had a different colour top. So one of us would be red, one of us would be white, one of us would be... Oh, Ben was like, I've always got to wear white. I have to wear white. It's you know...
Was that his thing?
Sorry, Alison?
Was that his thing? Ben's thing was wearing white, like a bride. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why he liked white. So we'd all have a different colour, and And we went over to Australia and they thought we were like the Wiggles or something. They like, Australia is quite into their rock. You know, they're very, very much so. So not, you know, boy bands, not so much. And the label took us over there and they just did not know what to make of us when we first came out. Fortunately, when we sort of checked, when we had a bit more of a say in what we wore, we actually were a lot more casual, even though we still had stylists that were trying to get us in flares or some crazy things. Mm. And so when we went back to Australia years later, we actually had some hits there. But initially, we were laughed out of the country very quickly.
Aww.
Oh, no kidding. Like, honestly, those original outfits for Be the First to Believe, Summertime of Our Lives, I changed from red to like a luminous yellow.
I remember the yellow.
That was my next colour. And then we had a shocking look in Like a Rose, where we were all wearing sort of powder blue, a lot of baby blue, all of us. And You have a band of four guys standing here wearing, you know, powder blue and stuff. And I mean, you only just really have to look at the Like a Rose video to kind of get a sense of.
I will, as soon as this is done. I'm going to look at Sean being Limp Bizkit, then I'm going to look at
you. Yes, me too.
Alison, what's the best thing you've ever won or worn? We've got a double category here.
Okay. I think the worst thing I've ever worn, I'm quite a... So I grew up in a very rural council estate in Ireland, and they were quite like dour and grey. And I used to wear like blue tights and stuff and just go mad on colour, because it was either that or get into fist fights. So I felt if I dressed up as like, as brightly as possible, then I was almost not human, like a reef roll or something, like you can't punch a fairy or something like that, you know. I am beyond fights. I am one with the wind or whatever. So I have worn some like shocking stuff. I did my hair with, and I'm gonna try and figure something that won't get me cancelled, because I've definitely worn a lot of appropriating clothing, I think, back in the day. So I'm trying to think. What have I worn? I used to wear an England top in an Irish council estate.
You absolute edgelord.
Jesus Christ. How are you alive?
He used to put flags. So my dad's like, my dad is, I say this now, right? My dad is, I used to sound like a little Danny Dyer. I was born in England and I moved to Ireland. And that quickly got bullied out of me very hard, and I went very Irish. But I kind of kept the football on. I was like, oh, it's fine, like, because my dad is so into it. My dad is that English that I feel colonized by him. Like, that is how English my dad is. And he used to put flags outside of my bedroom window, because that was where you could stick it out. And he used to get burned all the time, and the smoke would come into my bedroom window. That night, like, I would pray, and I'd go, God, please let England get knocked out of the World Cup tomorrow. And he always answered my prayers. Like, so I did believe in
that. You're responsible for England's shoddy performance.
I'm like, God is like, yeah, doing the World Cup or the penalty taken or whatever. But yeah, I have worn an England shirt in an Irish council estate. I think that is probably the worst thing I've ever worn.
Yeah. If you wore an England shirt in South Wales, you'd be stripped of citizenship, I think.
I saw a guy wear an Eminem lyric shirt of, you know, the one where Eminem's killing his wife. I can't remember what it is, but like,
that's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, one of his. But he wore it to a communion, and I found that so weird to be in a Catholic church, like with like, there was a lot of like edgelords in Ireland where they would wear like very, very heavy metal t-shirts or rap t-shirts to church. I wore England shirts. Just as
somehow worse.
Yes.
It's like, I can best you all. Sean, have you won or worn anything terrible?
It wouldn't happen now. I once became fifth sexiest female at the Kerrang Awards.
Oh my gosh.
Which means I transcended a whole gender, my old gender, which means I must have been number one in the males, right? Because if I'm the top sexiest, if I'm the fifth top sexist female in all of rock, I'm guessing those other four females. I'm not female. Those other four winners, right? They are way more attractive than the men, right? No doubt. So I must be the most attractive man. So I won fifth sexist female 1 year. They don't do that anymore, thank God.
Yeah.
The Blackout once won a Kerrang Award called the Devotion Award, right? Which I went up on stage drunk and I said, thank you very much to Kerrang for giving us the Devotion Award. Or as it's actually known, we've been nominated for 4 times and we've won fuck all awards.
The Perseverance Award.
Yeah, so I
they
did
just
that.
Wanted you to come along.
Attendance.
Yeah, basically. Well, we weren't going to go. We literally weren't going to go. And our PR was like, oh, you've got to go. And we were like, look, we're not traveling up. And they were like, no, you've got to be there. We were like, we're not coming. And they were like, look, you fucking won an award. And we were like, oh, we're coming in the A-team van. So we did.
They always have an award on the side for the bands that show up. You know, yeah. For the bands that turn up, we'll give them an award because they came along.
Four times nominated but never won fuck all award. And for the worst thing I've worn, at Leeds Festival in 2011, it was pissing down with rain as we went on the main stage. And I thought,
just a little show off there. Going on to the main stage.
You'll see why now. Vix, you'll see
fine,
why.
Fine, Vix, I've bought my mum a car. We're all bragging.
It's fine. Yeah, she bought my car. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, playing the main stage, blah, 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 that doesn't matter. In Leeds, pissing down. I thought, I'm a man of the people. I'll get involved. So I jumped down into the pit, covered in fucking mud, got a handful of mud, and I went, right? But like a fucking idiot, kept my mouth open, right? Why would you do that?
You were an idiot before your mouth was open. You pied yourself.
Oh my.
It looks like you've had an accident with fake tan.
No, it looks like I've been at a shit eating competition. What are you on about? Look at it. Oh, no.
I just can't listen to that story.
Oh, no. There he is, man, shit face.
That's so upsetting.
So for the whole set then, I could just taste gravel and sand in my mouth while I was singing. So.
Did you have a gravelly voice?
Hey.
Right, I got to go anyway. didn't realise it was going to be...
You didn't think there'd be puns.
That's all I have to offer is puns, I'm sorry, but...
You've got almost all the way through without offering a pun, and you were worried about that.
Yeah, I know. You know, I just remembered a really bad prize I won in a competition, actually.
Let's have it.
I once entered a Ghostbusters competition, and I won it, and the prize that I received through the post was a signed Boy George cap.
of course. Ghostbusters and Boy George together at last.
Did you want that?
No, I was 10 years old. I didn't want it at all. I gave it away. it didn't mean a thing to me at that point. I was like, I'm really into Ghostbusters. Why? So I think what happened was, you know, sometimes when you're a kid and you call into the radio station and you win a competition, they just look around the room to see what they've got to send you away. So I think they must have thought, well, this kid's won a competition, we better send him something. So they sent me a signed Boy George cap.
Now, I got a cool story about competitions. I used to work in a radio station. I was like a...
And I sent out a Boy George cap to
somebody. Little boy. Yeah.
You probably weren't born then.
I used to work in a radio station. I was like a broadcast assistant, and this band, The Wanted, were very big at the time. Incredibly lovely lads. I made them tea and all this, but there was a competition where people could meet. There was a VIP meet and greet at the radio station. So the car was surrounded by screaming schoolgirls, and it was my job to go out with my checklist of names of who had won that competition. So there was 10 names on the list, and I read them out, and two of the girls didn't turn up. So there's these screaming girls that hadn't won. And then I kept looking at this girl and going, your name is Veronica Glynn. And she's like, what? And I'm like, your name is Veronica Glynn. And I was like, just never deny that or I will get the sack. And I brought her up. So I brought up two girls who didn't win the competition because it would have went to waste anyway. And let them up to see The Wanted, and they had the time of their lives.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely. You got loads of points for that.
I felt like Mother Teresa. It's the nicest thing I've ever done in my life.
That's
you know?
So nice.
I know. I bet you 10 quid they don't remember it. I bet you 10 quid they're just like, you know, mid-20s now, absolutely fine. I'm like, remember this for the rest of your life. I did this.
I reckon they will.
I reckon. They will as well. Those sort of things stay with you.
I remember, for example, the time when I was 15 and I met A1. A backstage meet and greet.
Wow. I bet they were lovely.
They were very, very lovely. I was like an intrepid little researcher. I was like, the internet was quite new at the time. Right. But I managed to get hold of your management company, Mark Burn Blood, and I lobbied for it. I got my dad to ring up and pretend that I worked for my like sixth form magazine or something. And I don't think they believed us, but I guess they admired the energy of it, and I got invited to the Cardiff meet and greet, and I got to take three of my mates, and we behaved like absolute twats. So
you repaid their kindness.
There was no chill amongst me and my mates that night.
Yeah. So. And then for some reason, a week later, Mark, you split up.
And 21 years.
We never went back to Cardiff.
21 years later, here we all are.
Got you again. Do you remember me? That's the real reason.
I had to record 30 podcasts, Mark, to get this moment with you, but my God, it was worth it.
This is the whole reason you started the podcast, is it?
Yeah.
The long game.
Right, if I get into comedy, you know, and then there's a giant pandemic and I get the podcast.
Yeah, you're thinking, I might get my fourth favourite member of A1 on the show.
No. You were the thinking woman's choice. Me and my friend Becky used to fight over this in school. I'm still fighting the good fight. Every 6 months or so, I will remind people about Caught in the Middle on Twitter.
Yeah.
Always well received. Absolutely. Always well received.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Good gym anthems there.
You're an angel.
Yeah. Also, Sean, I tell people about your band as well when I remember the name of it.
Rangers. No. Oh, check out this band, Rangers.
It's because in my head, I think it's something to do with like American sport. There's like Rangers
Raiders. Raiders. Go for Raiders then, isn't it?
Is that where it's come from? I don't know about sport.
Not Glasgow.
I was thinking that, Sean. I was like, whoa, sectarian.
You're like, oh, yeah, it's American sport. Glasgow Rangers.
There's got to be some Rangers in America.
New York. Yeah, they probably are, I think.
Got a lot of work Googling after this to try and redeem myself.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff I've said won't make the edit. Not level with you. She didn't say a lot, but she had a lovely time.
This is going to drive me mad if I don't ask you this. Sorry, Pigs. Is that a rubber duck in the background or a little baby Yoda or something? I'm seeing something behind you.
On the floor.
For some reason, it's looking like a rubber duck.
No, it's a little mouse that's full of dreamies, which is like crack for cats. They eat them too quickly, so they have to put a bit of work in to get one out.
I'm not like, my attention's not just noticing the duck in the background.
This is exactly how I dreamed it.
They do say, never meet your heroes.
No, because you'll make a dick of yourself 20 years, it was once 20 years ago, and then again, nice and fresh 21 years later. So,
Mark, sorry to hijack Vix's podcast. Quick one for the Sapling podcast here. Did you ever meet any of your like pop heroes, and how were they?
That's a good question. Because we were very much in the pop scene, as you know, I didn't get to meet a lot of my heroes because my heroes are, you know, I was like Billy Joel, obviously the Beatles and bands like that. But actually after A1, I got to work with quite a few of my heroes. I, as well as being in A1 now, I play in a band called the Jones Gang, which which is the Kenny Jones band. And Kenny Jones was the drummer for the Faces, the Small Faces. And then he replaced Keith Moon in The Who. So one of the best British drummers ever. And certainly of his time, very iconic with all the drum fills that they had in those Faces songs. And so I get to do something very, very different now, playing songs like Won't Get Fooled Again and stuff like that. But back in the day, we'd be hanging around with all the other pop bands, so you know, and they were just kind of like our colleagues. Every now and again you'd meet someone really cool like Will Smith or something, and you're like, that's Will Smith, incredible. But yeah, and I did get to meet Elton John, which was really nice. He's one of my heroes. And we sat on a plane, Alison, we sat on a plane next to Eminem as well. He wasn't the chattiest bloke, I'm not gonna lie. He didn't particularly want to talk to us, but we got completely blanked by Christina Aguilera.
Whoa.
But Britney Spears was very nice.
Wow, right.
Extremely nice. But I tell you what,
Britney.
Sorry, I'm just like...
She follows me on Twitter and Christina doesn't, so...
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If anybody's wondering what that noise and that interference, that was all the names I just dropped.
But we asked you, man.
Sorry about the clang, clang, clang. Yeah. So
we specifically asked you. Don't feel ashamed at all. Like, seriously. You're brilliant.
That's why,
I'm so glad I'm on this podcast. Just to tell you, never be ashamed of yourself, Mark. You're a fucking hero. You've been an A1.
Correct.
Like, no thank one can say shit to you. Like,
thank you. I remembered one other. Lionel Richie.
Oh, nice.
Ah.
Absolute legend. We were working in the same studio as he was, and he was in the next room, and he actually came in. He said, I'm working on a song and all I can hear is your bridge, you know, and it's going around in my head and we're trying to write another song, because we used to work in a studio. And he said it reminded him back of the days back in, like, you know, the Motown days, where you'd had all the different writers in the same building, and which is insane, you know, to hear that from Lionel. And we were actually in the kitchen making tea together. It was fantastic. And he's definitely, as a songwriter, he's definitely one of my heroes, because he's just written some fantastic songs. So, but yeah, there's still a few heroes, musical heroes, that I would love to meet, you know, like Paul McCartney. I've worked with people that have worked with him, and but I've never had the opportunity to actually meet him, and I would love to meet Paul McCartney. So I met a few other heroes that are not related to music, where I have been a bit disappointed.
Fozzie Bear. A talker.
No. Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons. I'm a huge Simpsons fan. And we got the opportunity to go to a script reading with the cast. And he was there as well. And the whole cast, Dan Castellaneta as Homer, Yardley Smith as Lisa, Nancy Cartwright as Bart, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm such a nerd, I discreetly took my Simpsons encyclopedia to get signed at the after party. Right? So I got it signed by everybody, and everybody was an absolute gem, an absolute diamond. And then I thought, I've got to try and get Matt Groening to sign it. So I got Hank Azaria. He is, he was Apu.
He's not anymore.
Chief Wiggum and Harry Shearer, I got him to do it. And in fact,
there's Apple. Yeah.
The old thing there. And I went up to Matt Groening and I said, I'm a huge fan and it would mean the world to me if you wouldn't mind signing this. I mean, everybody's a fan of something, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a fan of something. I think it's, you know, it's great to be passionate about things. And he said, oh man, I've been signing things all day, sorry. And then him and his wife just sort of wandered off. I was like,
fucking,
you know, just like crumbled into little bits.
Oh, that's, you know, so mean.
Just like that, because we had done a signing. We'd done a signing earlier in the day, and we probably signed 2,000 things. And if we were then walking to the car and somebody said, will you sign this? Of course we're still going to sign it, because it takes longer to say, sorry, I've been signing things all day. And I haven't got that time that he took to say that.
Might as well have been signing. Get your pen going, Matt. Yeah. Come on, get your pen going.
I didn't press it, but then I was sort of standing at the bar with somebody from Sky TV, and because it was a Sky event, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm really disappointed I didn't get Matt to sign my book. You know, and they'll go, really? Oh, Matt's really nice. He's really lovely. Let me go up to him and say, you know, a word. So this guy from Sky took me over to him and said, hey, this guy's number one in the charts this week with Take On Me. He's a huge Simpsons fan. And Matt's like, oh, really? Oh, great. Oh. So then he signs, hey, Mark, your pal, Matt Groening, he draws me a Bart Simpson.
Nice.
Oh.
I got what I wanted, but the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't feel good.
Play that lame card to kind of get it. But anyway, I'm still really, you know, it was still great to meet one of my heroes. So
nice.
But you've, Sean, you've obviously met, you know, one of your heroes in Fred Durst. So that's pretty good. Have you met
me? And now another one, Mark Reed.
Mark Reed, yeah. I've met them all and they've all been nice, which is weird. Like, there hasn't been anybody there I grew up listening to that I loved, that I've met, that's been a dick.
Well, your podcast is even more flagrantly about getting people that you admire on.
Well, no, I'll have people I don't get on with on. That's fine by me. Like, I'm up for...
Well, you run out eventually of people you like.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
I've got you back again. God's
sake. I'm trying to get Fred Durst.
I'm so glad to be on series two. This is a great endorsement.
I was a bit shy to ask you because our shows are very similar.
imagine if I was like, well, very similar. No, I love it. But I'm more anecdotes, the better. Less feckin' dry podcast. I'm all for this. This is all good.
Let's have a good chat. Who have you met that was an arsehole, Alison? Names.
Oh, who have I met that's been an arsehole? I actually remember I'm not going to say the band. They were a pop band. I don't want to say it because they. It's not. I feel that like
we desperately want you to. Let's see if we can guess.
Can you not like do a code like describe
them. There were four members. One of them had curtains. They were all in a primary.
It was a band you probably never even heard of them, but they were like supporting Destiny's Child in Dublin. And I ran up and asked for an autograph and they said no. And I kept that to like that burning anger. But then I thought about it and I was like, those people were that was probably the biggest gig of their life. They were going to support Destiny's Child. And they were probably nervous and stuff and going up to the side of that venue and some kid who comes up screaming. And as well as that, I wasn't that massive of a fan. I just knew they were famous and wanted their autograph.
Got carried away.
I'm the asshole. You know, like I look back at it now and I'm like, who were you, Alison, to be, you know, to be...
Who were they, Alison? Who were they?
You need to name some band names and then you kind of give a look if we're any close. Was it, okay. Liberty X?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, they're a nice bunch. They're a nice bunch. Was it Mystique?
No.
Destiny's Child.
You're right, but they stood out for supporting Destiny's Child because they were more pop. They weren't R&B in any way.
Okay, was it Australian band Human Nature?
No, and I've heard of them. This is great, Mark, to have
I'm
you
enjoying named. It. Go on, Mark.
Okay,
Mark.
Was it? So were they a British band? Where are they from?
Irish. But they would have had like, I don't, maybe a top 30 hit in the, they were a girl band.
Ah, okay. Girl band from Ireland.
They did cover versions of...
Is it Bellfire?
Yes, it's Bellfire. Incredible.
Oh, good.
But like,
wow!
But also,
I've seen them support someone as well.
But it's not like they're. Oh, this gig I went to was amazing. It had Damage. It had Oxide Neutrino.
Reload.
Yes. God! I met Tiger Lily. I was a massive fan of So Solid Crew at the time, and Tiger Lily was this woman who was like, she was like a dancer, but she wasn't really in the crew. She was crew adjacent, but I knew who she was, and I gave her my glow stick, and she kept it, and she's like, "No one's ever done this for me before." And I was like, "Take it." But yeah, I had a great night that night. And like, so Bellfire weren't at, you know, I think it was my childishness of going, they're assholes. But they were probably being dragged away. Like, genuinely, you know, when you're an adult and you make context on it, and it's just like,
yeah.
I think that was very nice of you to not name them. I don't think it would have mattered if you'd named them.
I went ahead and did it.
But you know, if they were incredibly famous, you'd name them. Do you know, there's something weird about like where pop ended up or whatever. If it was like, and it was Robbie Williams, and then you go, whoa! But like, there's no thing of like Bellfire, like not to be, you know.
Yeah, but you know,
they've got the right to reply. Get in touch, Bellfire. We'll put you on.
I'm not even saying which member.
I hear from people all the time that Robbie Williams is an arsehole. That's what I hear from a lot of people. But guess what? He was very, very nice to us the two times that we met him. Actually, the very first time that we met him. It was a bit questionable. We were on Top of the Pops together, and for some reason, one of us in the band, I don't know who it was, gave Robbie a copy of our album. And I think him and his crew played football with it in the dressing room. And we actually later found the album all kicked around and stuff. So, you know, but that, you know what?
Is that where Robbie thought he was like a rock star? For like,
it was, wasn't
he,
it?
And he started becoming a rock star for like 6 months when he was arguing with the waitress. It's like, bro, you're still Angels, mate. We still cure Angels, you know, I don't know. Like, you haven't done a rock song yet. You haven't fought anyone. You've just got tattooed and released Angels.
You think of anyone who's been in a feud with Liam Gallagher. Was it Liam Gallagher that he was in a feud with that makes you a rock star? And it's like, Liam Gallagher, I'm sure, hates Quavers or something. Doesn't make them rock star, you know?
But do Quavers hate him back? That's the question.
I just want to protect A1 at all costs. I can't believe that you were treated this amount of disrespect. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, if I ever see Robbie, he's fucking having it.
As I say, he was very nice the other two times. And at the end of the day, you can't, I don't know. I know you can sometimes these things can stay with you, but you can't judge a person on seeing them once. You know, you don't really know what's going on at that particular time. I mean, there's no harm in being polite at all times. You should always try to be polite.
Don't
absolutely.
Don't destroy someone's dreams in front of them. Don't physically cry. brush, something that someone's worked on. But anyway, sorry, Vix.
Unless you want to get pity points.
I've got a great Prince story. He's one of our heroes.
What? That's like the biggest name, Mark.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, we were on Top of the Pops with Prince, and Robbie was actually on the show as well. Travis, Robbie.
What a prick. Prince. We're all going to invite him on our podcast and then not turn up. He'll be on his own in the Zoom thinking about what he did.
What about that? Like, you got Travis, you've got Robbie, you've got Prince and A1. Which one of these is not like the others? So we're
Robbie
there.
Williams, rude. I haven't heard any stories about the others. Travis looked very polite.
We're all in the corridors, and Prince's security are walking in front of him like this, and they're going walking through the corridor saying, "Step up against the wall, you know, get out the way." And they pushed Christian up against the wall like this as Prince walked by. He took over the green room, so all the other artists were kicked out. Now, on Top of the Pops, back in the day, you'd used to be able to watch everybody's sound checks. It was just one of those things. It was really nice. No matter who it was, you'd watch their sound checks. The Prince, we were watching their sound check, and they came up to us and said, "Sorry, Prince has asked that nobody can watch their sound."
Nor the Purple Ninja. He's having none of it.
He was having none of it. But I still respect him, still love his music. And you know, you can have a bad experience. I mean, there are certain... He's dead now.
You've won. It's all right.
It did change the way I thought about him a little bit, but I still love the music.
He played the Blackout's last London show. We played in Corko in Camden, and he played Camden 5 days before us and demanded that the floor of the stage be mirrored. So we played 5 days after on a mirrored floor on stage in the Corko the Prince had played previously.
That's got to be disconcerting though, looking down and like seeing yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant looking down and seeing remnants of Prince. I was like, what do you think he was doing on our stage? Like,
I don't know. Who knows a prince?
I love these kind of stories. We were doing a TV show in Spain and we were bumped off the show because Jennifer Lopez wanted the entire set painted white. So I didn't have time for you anymore. They didn't have time for us because they had to paint the set. They said, "Sorry, guys, we'd flown over there especially for a TV show, but J-Lo was there." So it was like, simple as that.
Bye, A1. Well, we've gone on... We've gone on a journey now. No, two. Well, technically one category was two because we went worn and one. Well, it's surprisingly not the worst. We've covered two categories before. Sometimes people have got a lot to say. Anyway, let's go around and talk about where we can find you.
It's done, is it?
Yeah,
well, Vix, this was amazing. I just want to say, like, what a lovely podcast to be involved in, and like, so brilliant. Like,
I just want to hear different stories from people. That's why I started this podcast, because you hear like your faves doing different podcasts, but they get asked the same questions over and over again.
That's so true.
So I just thought, what would it be like if I could ask the questions? This nuts. So that's how we got here. But yeah, thank you for coming on. I've had a lovely time. I could go and go, but people keep complaining that the episodes are going over an hour. So, not the guests, the listeners.
So people who listen to this, right? This is what I hate with my podcast as well. Right? You get people who complain for giving them fucking free content. I'm giving you this, right? If it's over an hour, you should be fucking thankful.
Not going,
this is too long. Shut up and fucking listen to it. It's three, you pricks.
People are like, oh, it's good, but 45 minutes is the optimum for me. Is it? Is it indeed?
I love a long podcast. I get really disappointed if it's too short because you stick something on because you want it to last a while. You want to get up and doing other things and you want it to last at least an hour. I tell you what, I mean, I listen to so many Kevin Smith podcasts and they're all 2-3 hours long. I can quite comfortably chat here for another hour, but we'll have to just reschedule it for another time. Do another one sometime.
We should. We'll all go on Sean's next.
Yes, do it. I'm up for it. Yeah. Mark.
Yeah, Mark, go on this. Sean's podcast. Like, seriously, I'd love to hear it.
Rock.
Can I tell you something? Right. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself... I don't like, think of genres as such. I'm just a massive fan of music and there's good music in every genre. But I have actually done... This is a bit of an exclusive. I've actually done a rock version of Same Old Brand New You, which was our second one. And it's full on. It's really full on. And if I told you the band that I was inspired by, you might go, oh, what are you doing? But it was actually inspired
by... Was it the Rangers?
No, it was... I'd love to...
Well, we'd all like to have you then, but they don't exist, Mick. They don't exist.
I just love trolling you.
So I've actually done a rock cover of one of our songs, and I wanted to do it with the band, but I played it to them, and it totally went over their heads.
Oh.
And they were like, okay. And it, because it's really, it's authentic. It's, I'm trying to make it really authentic and quite heavy. And because I always thought that, you know, a good song can be done in any style, really.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those pop songs of the time were dressed up in a certain kind of production. And Vix, I appreciate you saying that some of them had aged well, and that's true of some songs, but in Definitely. Others, they really haven't. So I think some of those songs, it's nice to update them with a slightly different production. And I noticed towards the end of A1 that a lot of our fans were actually also into
a lot we're getting of, a bit older.
like Limp Bizkit, like Marilyn Manson at the time and stuff. So I think that the tastes were changing and stuff. So I would have loved to have done a much, much more sort of rocky kind of tracks. In fact, the closest we got to rock, which was much more kind of like Blink 182 sort of style, or actually probably even what's the band that married one of Avril Lavigne.
Nickelback. Sum 41.
We did a song that kind of was a pop version of sort of Sum 41 sort of style, and which was called 259, which was a song that we did where we just pieced together cuttings from newspapers, and we made a very sort of nonsensical song called 259, and it was dressed up in a rock style. We did it on a gig once, and apparently a guy said, that's really cool. And then they put together Busted. So
this is a great rumor. Big if true.
That would fall into the rumor category because I'm sure Busted were already in the works. But we.
I'll ask.
Well, yeah, go on. Get on to Charlie.
Our manager hated that style of music. He really didn't like it. So when they heard that song 259, they were like, no, that's not for you. So we didn't do anything else. Anyway, I went off on one.
I had a lovely dream about Matt from Busted, and I never thought anything of him. And in my dream, and it wasn't a sexy dream, he was just my boyfriend. And I feel so warm towards him now because our time together was so special. And he, obviously, it's not real. But every time I see him, I'm like, oh, Matt, I just want the best for him.
I had something similar with, like, my band did Paramore's first UK tour, right? Wow. So Paramore never toured the UK and then went on tour with us. Fools. And I had a dream that I married Ailey and I woke up completely in love. And then I found out that we weren't married and I was fucking gutted.
I can't shake the warmth I felt for him. Like we had a special time together, but we didn't. It was all in my head. Anyway. Right, Sean, where can we find you? This podcast.
I'm on Twitter at Sean Smith Sucks, because I thought I'd beat people to it. Because if you say I suck, yeah, cool, that's fine. Sean Smith sucks. On Instagram, I'm fake Sean Smith because there was a real Sean Smith at the time. I've literally got two names that I cannot get verified with. Sean Smith sucks and fake Sean Smith. At Sapling Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Sapling Podcast with Sean Smith everywhere. I'm in a band called Raiders, Raiders.
That's what I said.
UK. Yeah, have a look. Raiders UK on Spotify and that. And then, is that it? Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, Mark, what about you? When are we gonna get this? Well, it's not a cover because it's your song.
You know what, right?
You've just teased it now.
I'm putting out a new song in June called Stop the Show, which is
nice.
It's very timely with the lyric because it's, you know, it's just about you can't stop the show and the curtain ain't coming down. Let everyone know that we're back in town, that kind of thing. Watch us steal the show. It's a cool tune. I'm putting that out on the 4th of June, and I was going to do it as a double A with Same Old Brand New. Double A was a thing that we did back in the... Noise.
Do I want CD1 and CD2? Do I want the live version? Do I want the new track? What do I want?
I don't know whether it was that you just had too many good songs or if one of them wasn't quite good enough, so you needed another one to bump it up.
They could sell two versions and little girls would buy them.
Exactly. What happened. So, but because the double A side is a bit of a lost thing with streaming now, I thought, well, actually, no, I'll release Same Old Brand New at another time, but I certainly will. But you can find me on Spotify on Mark Reed Official and Instagram the same again, Mark Reed Official.
See, Mark Reed's owning it, Sean.
Well, do you know what?
Be who you are.
Yeah, But he could get his, though, couldn't he? Sean Smith had gone. That's the point. Like, my Sean Smith had... I could have Sean Smith 721 if I wanted.
I'm surprised. No, I'm surprised I could get Mark Reid because it's a really common name. I hate my name. I'm stuck with it. I prefer my middle name's Daniel. I would rather have been called Daniel because the thing is, you know, Sean Smith, it's a cool name. You know, it's a cool name. But Mark Reid just, meh.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm so sorry, guys. I have to pop off.
Well, tell us where we can find you before you go.
So my name is Alison Spittle. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter. I have a podcast called Wheel of Misfortune with Fern Brady. You can find that on BBC Sounds and really other places. I love doing it and I love being on this podcast. And I've got another podcast that's taking a break and it's called The Alison Spittle Show. And so thank you so much. I really, really
I better tell you the winner, Mark, won in the end because told a sad story about
How can I compete? I gave up.
You just edged over the line with that. Like it was pretty close though up until that point. But yeah, I was just like, oh, yeah.
Incredible work, Mark. Incredible work. Thank you so much, guys. I'll see you soon.
Lovely to meet you all.
Lovely to meet you.
You are now, technically you are now all free to go.
Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Know. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.